Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
James Harden has reportedly turned down a two-year extension with the Rockets that would have made him the first player in NBA history to earn $50 million per year. Harden has apparently made it clear to ownership his goal now is to force a trade to join up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. However, Harden is still under contract until at least 2022, so Houston has no incentive to take any bad deal in exchange for the former MVP. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is with us. Chris, how does this play out?
Wow, that's the talk around the league right now. And in speaking to some people yesterday, I was told a few things. One, right now the Rockets are solely focused on dealing with Russell Westbrook and trading him, seeing what they can get for him. They're not really paying that much attention at this moment to moving James Harden, because as you mentioned, they got great leverage with Harden, and he's one of the best players in their franchise's history. They really don't want to move him, as the extension showed. I also heard this, which surprised me a little bit, but I heard it from a few people. Philadelphia right now is all in on giving Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid a try. They want to see what Doc Rivers can do with these two and see if he can get the most out of them. So I think those are two important things, because if I'm Houston, my number one trade target for James Harden is Philadelphia, whether it's Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. So how does it play out? Look, the Rockets, as you said, have the leverage because of Harden's long-term contract. And if I'm them, I do not want what Brooklyn has to offer. I mean, the first thing is, I'm probably telling Brooklyn, any deals start with the name Kyrie Irving. All right, because if I get Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, as good as they are, and maybe even Jared Allen, who I really like as a guy at the rim, you know what I am in the West? I'm just good enough to
miss the playoffs.
And not, you know, and be low in the lottery.
Right.
Like, I'm not the worst team in the league. So I'm right there stuck in no man's land for the next few years with those guys. So I really don't want what Brooklyn's bringing me, and I have the leverage. So I'm telling Harden, look, you can forget the Brooklyn stuff. I'm sorry, it's not happening unless they begin with Kyrie Irving, and I'm not sure I'd even do that. So if I think what could happen is Houston starts the season with at least Harden, if not both of them. I'd like both of them if I'm, you know, Westbrook and Harden if I'm Houston. But I think they started with at least Harden. See what happens in Philly. Because if it doesn't start out well in Philly with Simmons and Embiid, and people conclude, you know what, they just don't work together, then maybe one of them is available at the trade deadline or next offseason, and now I can get one of those guys, and that'll be my building block. I don't want just some pretty good players I can get from Brooklyn.
Chris, you and I were talking. I thought the old mantra was, go west, young man. Seemed to me everybody going east. Why is everybody going east when the beast is in the west? Skip Bayless, I thought that the settlers. I didn't read no history book where they going east to settle land.
Wait, the beast feasted on the east for years and years and years. He cakewalked to 8 straight finals out of the Eastern Conference.
And now, Chris, we come to the West.
Yep.
Gone.
No.
Well, hold on. The Kawhi went west, and Paul George has found himself in the West. So everybody's not running.
And you see what happened. What happened to Kawhi? He can't even get past the second round. Talking about us. But anyway, back to James Harden. If I'm looking at what, think about this. What did Milwaukee give up to get Holiday? I like Holiday. He's a very good player. He ain't James Harden. So you got to start with at least 4 first-round picks and 3 to 4 swaps. That'll get me on the phone. Now I'm going to need, maybe you're right, maybe I need Kyrie, LeVert, Dinwiddie. I'm going to need a king's ransom. You see what teams are getting, what guys are giving up to get guys that aren't James Harden. But like you said, and Jenny and the Reed, they got him for 3 more years. They really don't have to do anything. But the thing that I do notice is that when superstars are upset in the NBA, teams are more apt to go ahead and move up off them. Now, New Orleans, give New Orleans credit. They held on to Anthony Davis for a year. They found out he was upset. They's like, nope, even at the trade deadline, we're not doing it. But eventually...
Well, it took a change of GM to do that.
But eventually, if James Harden is unhappy, Chris, they're going to have to get up off him. There ain't nothing you can... There's no way around it. I get it. They're going to have him... If they keep him for this year, they still got him for 2 years. But he's unhappy. You're going to have to get up off him sooner or later. But like you said... Brooklyn, to me, I think Brooklyn has the most pieces. Nobody else has anything that they're going to want. Miami is not getting off, who do we say, Skip? Bam and Tyler Hero. That's not happening. Pat Riley's not, even for James Harden, Pat Riley's not getting off Bam. Bam is a non-starter for anybody. Mm.
So, Chris Broussard.
You don't like Philadelphia?
For Joyce. Joel Embiid by himself is not bringing Houston out in nowhere in the West. You need multiple superstars to even have it, to even think about contending in the West. Mm.
So, back to Chris. Chris made my head hurt with all of his ramifications because I'm still trying to process the potentiality, just the possibility of James Harden trying to figure out how to play with number one, Kyrie Irving, and number two, Kevin Durant in Brooklyn.
Right.
And yet, Chris is throwing all these other curveballs over here and over here. And obviously, Daryl Morey is now running the Sixers. And I understand that potential. But again, if James is pushing like crazy to join, especially Kevin Durant, and now you're saying, well, Houston, we want Kyrie back. Well, that's a non-starter for... The Brooklyn Nets, because obviously
KD.
Yeah, right. Well, it's because Kyrie chose the Nets in the first place, and he brought along Kevin Durant, who's like his best friend, who just says, "Oh, you don't want to go to the Knicks, you want to go to the Nets? Okay, let's just go to the Nets." And Kevin acted like he didn't even do any research on the Nets, and now they're there. Well, they have a brand new coach who's never coached one dribble in the NBA named Steve Nash. Great player, great guy. He has no idea how to juggle these kind of egos because he never really had these kind of three.
Nobody has juggled these kind of egos.
So, Chris, you and I have been covering this league for a long, long time, me even longer than you. And what I learned early on was you win in the NBA with stars, superstars. The more, the merrier. The more, the better your chances are. So, I finally told Shannon, as much of a disaster as I think Kyrie and James Harden would be, and I know it's even a long shot hypothetical, but it would be chaos and disaster for those two to try to figure out how to share the basketball. Man, if I ran the Nets, I'd say this is potential chaos, but I'm going to do it. If I could do it, I would do it because I'd have a revolutionary player in James Harden. I'd have one of the clutchest players I've ever seen in Kyrie Irving. And I'd have, to me, the best player on the planet in Kevin Durant. And then you just say, Steve, good luck. Go figure it out. Because you just have to. You just have to say, I'm closing my eyes and I'm going to try this. And again, if you have to give up all those pieces that you say Houston wouldn't want, I'd give them everything. You know, LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Torian Prince, name them all. You can have all of them.
I want KD.
Okay. Well, do you want KD?
I want KD if I'm Houston.
All right. Well, you would. You would ask for KD. But that's not the point for Brooklyn.
No, it's not.
It's KD and Kyrie saying, hey, we could get James. Let's bring James here.
I think that's KD saying that. I don't think Kyrie's...
Well, I don't think so, but I don't know.
Right.
Go ahead, Chris.
I hear you, Skip. I mean, obviously, if say they get James Harden, you got to give him a shot, right? It is not a fit, period.
No.
It just doesn't fit. And as you said, when you have a big three that doesn't fit perfectly, one of them has to take a step back and kind of become a glorified role player. We saw it with Kevin Love.
Yep.
We saw it with Chris Bosh.
We did.
You know, now if the three pieces fit like Golden State with KD and Steph and Klay, then everybody can do their thing. Or even you go, you know, Boston with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen. But these are three guys in Brooklyn, would be in Brooklyn, used to having the ball in their hands. And look, I love with them bringing Mike D'Antoni as the assistant coach. But D'Antoni now, every offense he's ever run has one guy dominating the ball and making decisions for everybody else. All the way back to Steve Nash in Phoenix. And it worked with Nash because he was pass first. How is that working with these three guys? I actually think Harden would be best suited to have the ball, drop his scoring average by about 10 points, lead him in assists, and Kyrie and Durant off the ball. But one, is Harden willing to do that? Two, is Kyrie willing to get off the ball? So I agree. I think Kyrie is the biggest challenge with these three. I think Durant and Harden would be great together. But, Skip, look, we saw it in Houston. Remember Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen, and Hakeem Olajuwon. And everybody says they were old. They were still at the end of their prime. They were coming off great seasons individually elsewhere, and they came together, and it never worked. So I think this would be a crazy, wild chemistry experiment that, to your point, potentially could pay dividends, but I got serious doubts about how it will work.
You know, so for me, sometimes you can ask too much of a good thing, and it looks good. You know, I don't eat potato salad, but, you know, you got your potatoes, you get your eggs, you get your mayo, and then somebody's like, hey, let's add raisins to pecan. Man, get out of here. You just ruined a good dish. You got KD, you got Kyrie, you got LeVert, you got Dinwiddie.
Right.
And now you try to add all this extra stuff. Skip, I get it. Man, that's James Harden. It is hard to turn down super, super, superstar talent. But, man, you can't put all this together and think it's going to be a good dish. Skip.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The Bucks are delivering back-to-back MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo the upgraded roster they promised after another early playoff exit, agreeing to separate deals with the Pelicans for Drew Holiday and the Kings for Bogdan Bogdanovic. The moves limit the Bucks' depth, but they do provide the type of playmaking around Giannis that the team hopes will tempt him to sign a Supermax extension. Chris Broussard is still with us. So, Chris, how happy should Giannis be with these moves?
Well, I think he should be happy because the Bucks got better, but not happy enough to sign that max extension. Because he should keep his options open, because this is not the type of blockbuster deal that makes you say, oh, the Bucks are the team to beat in the East. I mean, on paper, still Brooklyn and, you know, without James Harden, I still think Brooklyn is the best team in the East on paper. And so this is not the type of move that moves Milwaukee ahead of them on paper. But potentially, yeah, they could win the East. And I'll give them a shot because we know they were very good last year. And as I said, I think this makes them better. Now, Drew Holiday is arguably the best defensive guard in the league. He can shoot the ball. He can make plays for himself and others. He's a high character guy. He's got some leadership qualities. So I like that. That's an upgrade over Eric Bledsoe. And then Bogdanovic can shoot the ball, can make plays off the dribble. He's tough-minded. I like him a lot. So now, if Giannis struggles in the playoffs, now I've got Chris Middleton, Bogdanovic, and Drew Holiday to make some plays. Whereas last year, if Giannis didn't have it going, in addition to Middleton, I'm looking at Kyle Korver, Brooke Lopez, George Hill to make something happen. So I think the Bucks get better. And here's the thing. Let's see what Mike Budenholzer can do. Because I think he's a good coach. I voted for him for Coach of the Year before. But he has been a number one seed three times and yet never reached the finals. Atlanta, we can give him that when they won 60 games but ran into LeBron. Okay, we understand that. But in Milwaukee, you lost four straight to Toronto 2 years ago as the top seed. Last year, that was a straight-up embarrassment to lose in five to a fifth seed, who you have, and you have the, by far the best player on the court. So let's see what Budenholzer's made of in the playoffs. Can he make the right adjustments? Will he increase his players' minutes to get them over the hump? So if I'm Giannis, I play out this season. Don't let people get into your head and say you got to sign because it's going to be a distraction. No, LeBron played twice on the last year of a deal in Cleveland and Miami. Kawhi did it in Toronto. Kyrie did it in Boston. And they weren't distractions. If you go out there and show by your play, I am all in. I'm trying to lead this team to a championship. And then you don't play with the nonsense. Look, I'm focused on this year. I'm not thinking about free agency. You can limit the distraction.
The thing, when I look at this, I'm trying to figure who y'all think he can get. Y'all want him to get Bradley Beal? I mean, what other superstar you think they're going to be able to trade for that's coming to Milwaukee? If Giannis does not sign this deal, after what they've given up, it will cripple him. Just like with James Harden, if James Harden leaves, because think about it, Russ leaving, what they gave up to get Russ, giving up those draft picks, losing CP3, you're never going to get back equal value. But if he were to leave after you gave these picks up, what are you? I mean, I don't get what Giannis is expecting. He needs spacers, guys that can shoot. As you mentioned, Holiday can make plays for himself. He's a very good scorer, tremendous defensive player. Bogdanovich, I love him. I wanted the Lakers to get him. Skip and I was thinking, man, if we get him, it would be over. So I like that he would have spacers, so if you try to build a wall to keep him out of the lane, he can kick. Now, he gets picks up a lot of his fouls by charging.
You think he should sign?
No.
Okay.
No, he still has an opportunity. But my thing is, I don't know who y'all think is going to come to Milwaukee.
Nobody.
This is the best.
Nobody.
That's what LeBron ran into in Cleveland.
You have to go.
Right.
Yes.
And I mapped out Chris for Skip earlier. You look at the top 10 players: Bron, AD, KD, Kawhi, Harden, Russ, PG. Okay, all of them have moved. Two of those are wanting to move. So now, Greek Freak, what are you going to do? Really, the only ones that have stayed, Steph Curry, Dame Dollar, Yoke, and Embiid. But for the most part, you got eight of the top guys have left or wanting to leave. So Giannis has got to think about this. Man, I'm looking at all these other guys. They get, look at Bron and AD. Harden's trying to get to KD and Kyrie. Ooh. I don't know Milwaukee, but I don't know who they can skip. I'm trying to, Chris, help me. Who can they get? Who can they trade? Chris Middleton and maybe somebody for to come to Milwaukee.
Okay, so here's my bottom line. I will give you that Milwaukee just got a little bit better, but they didn't get a whole lot better. They didn't get better enough to keep Giannis from signing or to make him sign the contract, to keep him there. Again, Drew Holiday, I like him, but I don't love him. And I don't think he's appreciably better than Eric Bledsoe is. Eric Bledsoe's made two all-defensive teams, so has Drew.
Well, KD said Drew Holiday is the best.
I got it. But again, it's not like Eric Bledsoe was a liability because he wasn't.
He wasn't a playoff skill.
I don't think he was a liability.
Yeah, he was a liability.
So Drew Holiday made one all-star team, and it was in 2013 back when he was in Philadelphia. So is he a star? I don't think he's a star. And I think...
He's not a star.
Hey, Dante DiVincenzo, he's going to become a very good player in this league. He's only played 2 years. I think Sacramento will win that trade ultimately, because Bogdanovich can shoot, but he's not a better all-around basketball player than DiVincenzo is.
You like DiVincenzo better than you like Connington? Because they kept Connington, the kid from Notre Dame. You like DiVincenzo better than him?
They're just very different in how they do it. Connington's just catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, you know. Like, okay, so he's more like Bogdanovich, but Bogdanovich is better because he can create more off the dribble. Okay, I get that.
Right.
But did they suddenly... Listen, George Hill led the league in three-point shooting, albeit with a small sample size, but enough shots taken to qualify as the leading three-point shooter at 46% in the whole league. So you don't think he helped Giannis? This all comes down to how good is Giannis? Is he the Greek freak? Is he really that guy? Because when they ran into the Raptors 2 years ago in the conference finals, he just melted. He shrank.
Yeah.
And then last year against the Heat, he got hurt and didn't miss the last game. But they lost in five games because he wasn't the MVP in the playoffs. So I look at his plus minus in the fourth quarters of these two losing series that he played. He was a minus 29 and a minus 30. He wasn't the MVP when it mattered most. So he needs to, as Chris said, don't sign, leave, and join forces. You got to join. He needs to be a 1A. He is supremely gifted without supreme playoff self-confidence. Okay. That's what I see. He's not sure of himself at the highest level. So he needs to go play with a LeBron or join forces.
But he said he didn't want that.
Okay, well, I don't care what he says he wants. I know what he needs. He needs to go find Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, or he needs to go team up with Anthony Davis somehow, whoever
that
is. What
he needs to do is learn how to shoot the ball from the floor other than dunks and layups. All right. That would help.
Okay, but is he capable of that?
Well, Skip, he got to. Skip, you can't. They're not going to let you just dunk and lay the ball up in the playoffs. That's not going to happen.
Okay, in these two losing series, he shot 55% from the free throw line. It's not good enough. Can you get better shooting free throws? Can you make 70%?
What did LeBron have to do? The Spurs, the first time around, dared him. Said, we're not letting you lay it up. We're not letting you dunk on our head.
Definitely no dunks.
Okay.
That was the law.
So
no dunks.
LeBron had to get better at shooting the ball mid-range, and he worked on his three-point shot.
He did.
Giannis is going to have to go through the same evolution.
I don't think he's capable of that.
Wait. Skip, the man's a two-time league MVP at 25.
Well, look, they just went back-to-back.
He's been improving.
They were best record in basketball two straight years.
His three-point shot.
Yeah.
He improved. Yeah. So he's up to 20% now.
I think he can improve his mid-range shot, Skip. Yeah, I think he can improve his mid-range shot to a serviceable degree. Right. I also think he's got to play a little more in the post. Because that's the whole problem. Even if you're in the post, you can still draw double and triple teams and you can kick it out to your shooters. So he's just got to find something that when they cut off the straight line drives, you can go to. If it's the mid-range shot and playing a little more in the post, I think that could work. Look, give it a shot one more year with these pretty good players. And then to your guys' point, if you can't get it done this year, you have to find that second star like LeBron.
We don't want you now. Mm. We gave you an opportunity. We don't want you in L.A. Mm. So you can't come join us. We fool. Mm. See, my guy, Skip, I keep telling you, the greatest key to survival is what? Adaptability. My guy, you cut the lane off, he hit you with that back down turnaround.
You just won the bubble championship.
Yeah, we just
won
another.
The COVID championship.
We just won another.
It was cubic zirconia, and you're over there gloating like you got it all.
It doesn't work
And we
that
drove
way.
Around the bubble, too, like three or four times. We had the bus driver drive.
Continuing just over and over again in the bubble. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It's getting interesting, and we will check in with you soon, I'm sure.
No mercy.
Two of the most exciting quarterbacks in the league square off when Skip's guy, Kyler Murray, and the Cardinals take on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks Thursday night football this week at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video. Well, the Cowboys are back from their bye week, and despite sitting in last place in the NFC East at 2-7, Dallas is still looking to make its move in a wide-open division. Andy Dalton was back on the practice field, and Mike McCarthy told reporters that the team had a, quote, pep in its step as it returned to work ahead of Sunday's matchup with the Minnesota Vikings on Fox. You know I'm ready for that one, Skip. Former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick is with us now. Orlando, do you believe a 2-7 team has pep in its step?
Yeah, they got a little pep because they're well-rested. When you're well-rested, you got a little pep in your step. It's like after you had that long weekend, when you got that three-day weekend, that four-day weekend, you got a little pep in your step at work on Tuesday.
Mm.
You know what? Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. First of all, normally you have a pep in yourself when you got something to look positive to. You know, oh, man, I can't wait to get back. Man, we 7-2, or we 6-3, or we undefeated. Ooh, man, I can't wait to get back to work. Do you see what they've been putting on tape? They 2-7.
They do got something to look forward to, huh? Almost over.
Exactly. So you ain't got no pep. That means the check's about to get stopped. The check's about to get cut off.
To be realistic, some of those guys are playing for their future. So I'm sure they got some pep in their step. Some of those guys is playing for the long-term, you know, livelihoods of their family. So they should have a little pep, but they're not going anywhere. You would like to see some progress, but I have zero hope. When I came out here and we started this thing, I said I had zero hope because of their defense. And now they coming off the bye, playing against a red-hot Vikings team. Yeah, they can have some pep in their step, all right? It's not going to end well.
But I would, you know, well, I'd have felt better, Skipper. If they'd have won that last game.
Well, they should have.
No, they should.
They played well enough, too. The referees took it right out of their hands.
There you go.
Well, you know it, and I know it.
So who you going with?
Oh, my gosh.
You going with Andy Dalton? You going with Bad, or you going with GG?
GG? Garrett Gilbert?
Yeah.
I'm going with Andy Dalton. Three Pro Bowls. First 5 years in the league, averaged 10 wins a year.
But you just told me that was a long time ago. You told me Drew Holiday mm-hmm. made the All-Star team. You said that was 2013.
Yep.
What years was that when Andy Dalton went to the Pro Bowl?
It was a ways ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, I got it. But the reason that there was pep in the step is these guys were watching the games on Sunday, and the stinking Eagles lost to the Giants. And the stinking Washington football team lost at the buzzer to Matthew Stafford and Prater. Up in Detroit.
Yep.
And even though Alex Smith played out of his mind, you know, that was the unsung game of the week by what he did.
Yeah, but the problem is that the Cowboys have been dominated by both of those teams. So what does that tell you?
I'm not sure the Eagles really dominated them, but I'll give you that with the Washington football
team.
And
now you got my first cousin. You saw what he did last night, right?
Yep. Okay.
The score wasn't indicative of what happened in Philadelphia, but they didn't do much of anything.
Okay, here's the point. If you look hard at what's going on as of yesterday off the Sunday games, if you look at remaining schedules in the National Football League, the Cowboys, off Sunday's results, had the easiest remaining schedule in the whole league. I'm talking about if you just add up the one-loss records of remaining opponents, easiest schedule left was Dallas's. That changed last night with the win by Minnesota because it increased a little bit. So now they fell to number two easiest. But again, the Washington team is ninth easiest. And then you have to go all the way down to the Giants at 28th and Philly at 29th. Okay, so my point is, it's set up right now for the 2-7 Dallas Cowboys to make the best run. They have the most winnable games left, not Minnesota. They're going to get trounced. I mean, Dalvin Cook will run them off the field, even though they played the run very well mm-hmm. against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They held them under 100.
Well, the thing is, but Minnesota, the difference is between Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Gary Kubiak, who's my offensive coordinator, played with. Skip, he was committed. They stuffed him last night, but he wasn't getting away from the run. And Kirk Cousins,
he wound up with about 3 yards a carry.
He did.
Just barely over three.
Exactly.
Okay, but he got 30 carries.
Right, but you got to stick with it. Just the threat of it, because in order to stop the run, you got to sell out. Well, you sell out to stop the run, now you got play action, and that's what Cousins was hitting them with, the play action.
Okay, I got it. So I'm giving you Minnesota. There's no way, no how this will be this Sunday at Minnesota. But then Washington on Thanksgiving Day,
y'all lose that one.
Okay, but we have a chance in that game, right?
Y'all lose Baltimore.
At Baltimore, no chance. And then at Cincinnati, chance. San Francisco at home, chance.
No, Cincinnati.
Philly at home, chance.
No.
At New York Giants.
Giants beat y'all.
At New York Giants, Daniel Jones, chance.
Skip, Daniel Jones.
Chance.
They had you on the ropes. They had you on the ropes.
And they're getting better every week.
Okay.
Yes.
They're getting better.
Okay.
Every week. Skip, let me tell you. One thing, let's look at it from, I know you're getting frustrated with me, Skip, but I got to, like, sometimes, you know, like, you got that younger nephew that reel in his uncle. You're going to be my uncle, too, Skip, today.
Okay.
All of these teams is looking at the Cowboys, and they saying the same thing. Win. We got one right there. We got us one right there. And it's like, I know we want to keep having hope, and they give you a little hope, and they play hard, and they lose, and then they come back, and they get blown out. And I know you want to just get put out your misery, but you watch all these other games, and you feel like you have hope. And I just feel like the Cowboys don't have one thing that they can hang their hat on and say, this is what we're going to ride out to the finish line. And that's what doesn't give me any hope.
Okay. They do have one thing they can hang their helmets on, and that's right now they got the third pick in the draft. And if they do lose all those games that Shannon Sharp said they're going to lose, if everybody on the schedule is saying win, 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 if that's true, I don't know. My team, if it loses out, could it have the second pick in the draft? It could.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be better than winning two or three games.
I got it. Because if you win, quote unquote, the NFC East, you get a home playoff game in which you will get blown off your home field by Tampa or Arizona or somebody. Somebody's going to come in and just clean them out. Somebody's going to embarrass them at Jerry World. And obviously, I don't want to see that.
Y'all got a good special teams. I mean, Bones got y'all playing. Yeah. Bones Fossil got y'all playing. You're running trick plays and everything.
Hey, Garrett Gilbert played really well, I thought.
Yeah. But when you don't have no expectations, it's much better to say really well. Because when the expectations is low, anything you do is getting a pat on the back. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that is like a naturally slow starting team, and they just kind of coasted through the Cowboys. But now you're going to be facing the Vikings, who are a team trying to get back in this thing. They're playing with some they're playing with some real pride. They're playing with some like they're going somewhere.
They look like they have taken off. I agree. But didn't you, as an ex-Dallas Cowboy defensive player, didn't you see some signs of life and hope in the Dallas defense against Pittsburgh? Because I sure did.
I did. I seen some signs of effort, but every time they needed to stop, they did what they always do. Didn't get it. Every time they needed to turn over, get it.
Oh, what I don't understand, he talking about his defense. Now, what about that offense that got all of those weapons? When are you going to see progress with them? Okay. 3 points, 9 points. Really, Skip?
Okay, but we haven't had Andy Dalton, who got concussed at Washington, and we didn't have Zach Martin in that game. And once he came back, it solidified the offensive line. I think it's decent now. I think it's good enough to protect Andy Dalton enough that he can get the three weapons involved.
Skip.
They can Andy Dalton. Games.
Are we really?
He put his hopes on Andy Dalton. That's what
Andy Dalton.
Well, he simply entered this year as the best backup quarterback in all of football, and even you agreed with that.
He was, but after watching him play, is he still?
Did you see the two throws he made to beat the New York Giants? Now you're saying the Giants might be the best team in the East.
Yeah.
I've been telling you that all along. Andy Dalton beat them. He flat out cold cocked them with two throws at the end of the game. Yeah.
If you watch the Giants have gotten better defensively. I'm talking about exponentially. Now, the thing that concerns me, offensively, they look like they've gotten better. But Daniel Jones is still susceptible to the big turnover at the most, because they should have beat Tampa. I don't care what you say. Oh, they had Tampa on the ropes on Monday night.
But the GOAT said, nah.
You know, the GOAT said, no. Daniel Jones says, here, let me give you the ball. But, Skip, I agree with Owen. I've been telling you this. While you looking at everybody else's schedule like, oh, they can beat this team, they can beat that team. When I played, I'd be looking at the schedule like, oh, yeah, we can beat this team, we can beat that team. And if the Cowboys are on your list, you're definitely looking at the Cowboys as a win, Skip.
Okay, absolutely. Good.
But Sharp, I mean, when you get to scoreboard watching, tell them that when you scoreboard watching, you're done already.
Yeah.
Scoreboard watching is the worst thing. It's like, oh, if we get a win today and this team get a loss, then this may happen. It's like everything with the Cowboys start off what somebody else is doing.
Right.
And don't start off what they're doing.
You never
watch. They need to win games themselves.
When I was at Endeavor, when we had Mike, we didn't even really know who we was playing the following week, because the only thing was up there was the team we were playing that week. We just worried about taking care of us. But then you go lose like four or five games, and then you got to start hoping, man. Now, if we win this one, and if they lose this one, and they beat that up.
Okay, that's like me saying, hey, the Cowboys teams I covered in the 1990s, they didn't care who they were playing.
Yeah.
They just said, bring it on. Show up, and then whoever it is, we'll crush them.
You a long way from that.
Well, I used to have those teams just the way you used to be a Denver Bronco a long time ago.
But see, Skip, at least I got 4 years. We won the Super Bowl 4 years ago.
Yep.
Skip, it's been a quarter century.
Well, you didn't win the Super Bowl. They did.
Sharp. Come on now. You're getting personal. Now it's I feel like you attacked me. I feel attacked now.
I
feel attacked.
He just keep holding on to the memories of Emmitt and Playmaker and Troy and Dion.
And Roger and Drew.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those days are over, Skip. Mm.
Oh, I mean, Skip, I'm sorry. It has been a while.
Yes!
I hate to remind you often about that.
And you said you was okay with that. I said, okay, I give you a choice. Tampa or the Cowboys? You say, give me Tampa. Give me Tampa Bay. So you done gave up on them.
Well, I lost my quarterback. I can't help it.
No, I asked you that.
I lost my whole offensive line.
I'm just waiting to see that pep in their step.
Yes.
Against the Vikings. That'll be interesting for me.
No mercy.
Well, the Eagles are still in first place in the NFC East, but after losing to the Giants to fall to 3-5-1 on the season, there's a lot of frustration coming out of Philly. Head coach Doug Peterson was on a local radio show yesterday, and when the host mentioned that the majority of fans on Twitter blamed the loss on coaching, Peterson got fired up right off the bat, explaining, "I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at myself. I'm pissed off at the way we played. It frustrates me. It frustrates me to no end. We have too much pride." Orlando Scandrick back with us. Orlando, some strong words. You played for Peterson and the Eagles in your career. So who is most to blame for Philly's record right now?
All these teams start off with me being a former player. It all starts at the top. So it starts off with your head coach. You know, it's his responsibility to get you ready. But for me, I don't know why he's pissed off. It's just like when reality sets in and denial no longer works. I mean, this is what we knew about this team since the Super Bowl. They're average at best. And, you know, now that the pressure is starting to mount on him and GM Howie Roseman, you know, who else can he blame? Your quarterback's underachieving, but it's your offense. Your defense is up and down, and you put so much resource into it, and it's supposed to be the dominant force. And, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, but that's sports in general. We knew what this COVID season, with a reduced offseason, with no preseason, we knew there was going to be a lot of injuries. And there's a lot of teams around the league that have a lot of injuries.
I agree with everything you just said. Skip, it's almost like he's calling the game like it's 2017, and his offensive line is intact. They can run the football every game. And he's calling plays the exact same way when he doesn't have nearly the exact same talent. Is that you're running the ball really well on Sunday, but somehow you're still asking Carson Wentz to drop back and throw the ball 40 times. Why? You should not have the same philosophy when you don't have the same level of talent on the field. Dog.
When you vouch for somebody, okay, like let's equivalent it. When you got a Ferrari and then you got a little pickup truck, you going to drive your Ferrari. So, you know, Carson, that's the way that they see fit. They still think that, you know, it's Carson Wentz in 2017 pre-injury, and they still fit that, see and think that they can run plays the way they did. And this, they have no, it has no creativity whatsoever. It looks like watching paint dry, and it's like they wait till they get down and then let Carson stuff a little stats. And I'm right now, I'm starting to think Carson Wentz may be related to Kirk Cousins because they both good at stuffing stats.
Uh-huh.
And because, Skip, you remember in 2017, they had LeGarrette Blount and they had J.J. They could run the football. Now, he was on his way to win an MVP, got hurt, then Nick Foles come in. Now you can play action. He had Alshon. He had guys that can make plays. Zach Ertz, they can make plays. Well, you don't have that level of guy on the outside. You don't run the ball like that. And when you do run the ball, you take the ball out of their belly and let Carson throw it. And then as soon as he gets going, he gets the game close, the defense let him come back on the field, and the offense go right back down the field and score a touchdown. And like, boom, we back. Like, they can never, if you watch them, they really never play well together. Offense and defense play well on the exact same day. Either one played well and the other takes the day off, or the other plays well and the other takes the day off.
I was a hater.
Who said that?
I got too much hate in my heart because I was telling you. I told you this a long time ago. I said, Carson Wentz is just, he's big, he's strong, he can throw it far, but he don't have no accuracy. He don't want to put it on his shoulders. He looked like when the game is on the line, it's, oh, let me run around. I never seen a quarterback so many times duck. What ducking's supposed to be, that's supposed to be something like an ad lib. That's part of his drop back. Drop back and duck.
Well, because you know what's happened? He done got hit so many times. He know what's coming. He know it's finna happen.
I am loving this.
I bet you.
That Ferrari known as Carson Wentz is a lemon. I've been trying to tell Shannon for 3 years. He is extremely overrated. And the biggest problem of the Eagles right now is that the guy he calls walk it to him Wentz is actually give it to him Wentz. He is leading the whole league in giveaways, as in turnovers, with 16. He's at minus 16. Next on the list at minus 13 are Daniel Jones and Russell Wilson, who's risen all the way up to 13th in giveaways. So now we got Dougie P. Ode on his radio show. And this was classic. If you read all the quotes that he spat back and forth with the host of the show, he finally says, okay, go ahead. Blame it on me all you want. I'll handle it with the players. We are shooting ourselves in the foot. That is classic Dougie P, who wrote a book called Fearless after they won the Super Bowl, saying, don't look at me. Don't really blame me. You can if that's what you want, but I'm going to go in that locker room and I'm going to fix this because I will handle it because it ain't my fault. It's their fault. And it's especially the quarterback's fault because I don't think he ever wanted this quarterback to begin with. This was a Howie Roseman pick. And somehow, some way, they just took Jalen Hurts up high in the draft because I think they have designs on replacing Carson Wentz sooner than later with Jalen Hurts.
Well, Skip, if you write the book and take credit for the win, shouldn't you take blame for the losses?
He doesn't take blame well at all.
I wish he'd got PO'd when Brett Favre was taking shots at his quarterback. What would that kind of fire then, Skip, if you taking a shot at my quarterback? Oh, Brett's my friend. You know Brett doesn't speak.
Reality setting in. Oh, you know how it is when reality setting in. You know the process of this. Somebody got to go. Somebody got to get blamed.
So you can say this is all I got left, but my quarterback, Dak Prescott, is way better than his quarterback, Carson Wentz. I told you from the start, and it is now coming true right before your horrified eyes.
Hold on. Your guy got two division titles. The guy that I talk about got two division titles, and we're in line to get a third.
Yeah, and your guy has a Super Bowl ring thanks to Nick Foles, who had a shrine built in the locker room to him the next year because that team decided Nick Foles was way better than Carson Wentz.
But here,
let's just say this. Let's just say these two quarterbacks is trending in two different directions. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Carson, you would like to see it Carson get better, but I don't. He just has not gotten better, and he's gotten progressively worse. And you got to say at what point, you know, just like we say down in Tampa with B.A., at what point is Doug going to put Carson in position to do what he does well? You know, and maybe the things that he does well, which is the RPOs and things like that, that made him successful. Maybe those are things that he doesn't like to do, but just being a straight drop back passer, he doesn't consistently make good decisions. He's not consistently accurate, and that hurts him. That's shooting them in the foot.
And exactly. That's what the good coaches do. You call plays according to the quarterback, but it's my system. You run my system. I got to call what you're good at. Skip, people, Aaron Rodgers cannot run Baltimore Ravens offense, but you wouldn't ask Lamar Jackson to run Patrick Mahomes offense. They're two different players, and so you call plays accordingly. So you call, well, this is my offense. This is what I did with Nick Foles, and Nick Foles can handle it. Okay, fine. But that's not what he's good at. What is he good at? What can I take advantage of that he's really good at that can help our team win? You just don't call plays. Well, I'm just calling plays. The plays on the sheet. Let me call this. But you got to look at the talent that you have. He mentioned something very interesting. He said, we got too much pride. He mentioned nothing about no talent.
No.
I mean, normally you're a guy that, look, we're too talented of a ball club.
But are they still the most talented team in the East? Yeah, they are. They are.
On paper, maybe,
but you know, you just see Alshon has been hurt. D-Jack
hurt. Ertz is gone.
Wait a second. Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. Let's start with those two.
Okay, you talk about defensive side, but on offense, they're a long way from being talented.
But Lane Johnson, isn't he back? He's been in and out.
He's in and out. And you got the best offensive lineman, Brooks. He's out. Your left tackle wasn't even supposed to be playing left tackle. As a matter of fact, Skip, you released him. Because your left tackle that's supposed to be in there, he got hurt. So they are a hodgepodge on offense. But, hey, Dougie P, you got all the credit. Oh, the Philly special. Oh, you got to be fearless. Well, right now, you're coaching foolish. Let Wiz do what he does really well and go from there.
Mm.
But I don't think that he even knows what he does well. It's been so long. I got to go watch the History Channel to watch some Eagle success.
Then you go try to take a little shot.
Agreed.
You just gave me so much. I had so much hate in my heart. And
you got a little bit. I mean, you still got a little bit in there.
I don't got no hate in my heart. I just turned it on Sunday. Watch the Eagles on Sunday. Get some love in my heart.
Hey,
brotherly love.
Philly should have run away with this division. You know it, and I know it. And now it's come all apart, and I am loving it. I don't have much left with my team, but neither do you.
That's okay. Well, I'll root for the Giants then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? That's going to be
anybody other than Cowboys.
Since when? Orlando, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your insight.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.